إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, on the story of Musa alayhi salam and the lessons from that, we are today on perhaps the most famous part of it, which is which in the Bible is called the Exodus, where Musa alayhi salam led his people out of Egypt. And as we know, all the circumstances surrounding that and how that came to happen, and as I have been saying, the purpose here is not to narrate the whole story, but to see what is it we learn from it. What we have in the story now is they have left Egypt. The Pharaoh eventually agrees to allow them to leave, and they are now at the point in the Red Sea. If you look at the map, you can actually see there's a narrow part of the Red Sea, which Musa alayhi salam is supposed to cross. But when they get there, the Pharaoh did allow them to leave, but then he changes his mind and he decides to annihilate them. And to annihilate them, he comes with his army. So now the Israelites, the Bani Israel, are caught between the sea and the army of Pharaoh. Now if you read the Quran and the ayat relating to that, it shows a couple of very important things. One is it shows the attitude of the Bani Israel themselves, because they actually say to Musa alayhi salam, "Inna la mudrakun." They say, "You will get us, you have got us into this situation and you will get us destroyed." But Musa alayhi salam's response to that is that my Rabb is with me and he will guide me. We have a similar situation from the seerah, where the munafiqun said the same thing to the sahaba at the time of the Ghazwatul Khandaq or the Ghazwatul Ahzab, where they said that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will get you killed, and his following him has now put you in the situation where now there is an army of 10,000 or more which is gathered here, and they will destroy you, and this is happening to you because you followed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the difference between the Bani Israel and the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that the Bani Israel were the people, not the munafiqun of them. But Allah alam, I'm not saying that every one of them said it, but the general statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran is they all turned against Musa alayhi salam. But with respect to the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself bears witness to that in Surah An-Nur and Surah Al-Ahzab and so on, where the sahaba stood firm and they said, "Sadaqallahu wa Rasuluh," that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi promised us, and they spoke the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, some of them have fulfilled their oath and others are waiting, and they have not reneged on their oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness to the faithfulness of the sahaba. And this is the difference between the Bani Israel and the Muslims in their faithfulness to their leader. The second lesson from this is the fact of not losing faith in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what circumstances look like. Now many times, including yesterday, the things keep happening. People come to me and they tell me, things are so bad and circumstances are so bad and this is happening and that is happening, and in India all this, Gaurakshak killings, and elsewhere this is happening in Syria and whatnot. And we tend to frighten ourselves to death without anything happening. I mean, nothing happened to you actually, but you are just dying of fright for nothing. Now, the point is that this is not the way of the Muslims. We don't run away and we don't die of fright just by looking at things. Musa alayhi salam was also, as far as circumstances were concerned, what he was seeing was what the Bani Israel were also seeing. It was not that Musa alayhi salam had some, you know, special X-ray vision that he was seeing things. No, he was seeing them. As far as he was concerned, also there was the sea before them, and there was the army of Pharaoh behind them, and there was apparently no escape. Yet Musa alayhi salam said, no, my Rabb promised me that he will deliver us from Pharaoh. How he does it, that's his job, right? I mean, I don't have to understand that. Now, that does not mean that he will not do it. If he promised it, he will do it. And my faith is that I will not change my belief in this. If Allah promised, he will do it. Now, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see this later when we talk about Yusuf alayhi salam story. The sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about change at the time the change is required. Not 10 days in advance, not 1 week in advance, not 10 years in advance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about the change when the need is there. Yusuf alayhi salam took the decision to run. He took the decision to refuse the advances of the lady and to leave the place. At the time that decision was taken, or at the time the advances were being made, the door of the room was locked. The lady locked the door of the room. And the door remained locked until Yusuf alayhi salam reached the door. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door. The door wasn't open. It's not as if Yusuf alayhi salam should have thought, well, you know, I mean, the door is locked, how do I get out of here? That is not our job. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised His help for those who are doing good. So the only thing we need to check is, am I doing good or not? Right? Allah did not promise His help for everybody. Allah promised His help for the muttaqun, for people who have taqwa, for people who are doing good. Inna Allaha ma'allazina taqaw wallazina hum muhsinun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people who have taqwa and the people who are people of ihsan. So the thing for us to check is, are we among the muttaqun and muhsinun? If we are among the muttaqun and muhsinun, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assured. And if we are not among the muhsinun and muttaqun, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not come, and nothing will save us, no matter what other steps we might take. So it's not as if there is a choice to say, do you want the help of Allah or do you want the help of somebody else? So I can remain on my path of transgression and I will get help from XYZ instead of Allah. There's no instead of Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So there is no need to despair and to feel afraid is a sign of weakness of faith or lack of faith. Despair is kufr, literally. But even if you are not at the stage of despair, even if you are at the stage of frightening yourself to death, you know, I remember I used to keep chickens when I was in my youth in Sanatnagar, in that big house we had. So I used to keep chickens. So they were in a nice big steel pen. They used to be penned up in the night. In the daytime, they were free-range chickens. So in the pen, there was a perch. So all of these chickens would sit on this perch in a line. So one day there was a wild cat or something like this, which was trying to get into the pen and was creating quite a racket. And I was sleeping, so I heard this racket. I got up and I took a torch and I went out. And this animal, of course, ran away. And as I shone my torch on the perch to see, I was trying to see if this cat got inside, but it hadn't got inside. The pen was secure. And as I was shining my torch on the chickens, one of them just dropped from the perch. So I said, what happened to the chicken? So I opened the thing and the chicken was dead. I mean, that chicken just died of fright. There was no danger. She was sitting inside a steel cage. You know, she was... she just died of fright. I think a lot of us Muslims are ready to die of fright. And this is absolutely shameful. This is totally, completely shameful. Because where is your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are you afraid of? You are afraid of some gaurakshak? What rubbish is this? Absolute nonsense. I remember once, it was after this, Bombay, or so-called riots. So I was in Bombay, I was teaching a course in GE, so I was staying at the Leela Kempinski Hotel. And one evening, I decided to, I wanted to get some bananas. So I went outside, I also wanted to take a walk, so I went outside the hotel. And there was this banana, pushcart, mouse ki vandi rathini. So this guy was there and I bought some bananas from him. He saw I was a Muslim, so he got chatting. So the guy says to me, hotel achhi hai na saab, laha bahut achhi hai, it's a nice hotel. I said, yeah, nice hotel. And what do you do? So I told him I do this. I don't know how much he understood what I did, but anyway. So in the course of that conversation, I asked him, I didn't ask, I said to him, I have decided to leave this country and go away to America. I was going to America for some other work and so on. So I said, I'm going to. So he asked me, Kahi ko ja rahe? Why are you going to America? So this Bombay riots thing had just happened, so-called riots, the Bombay pogrom, actually the slaughter. So I told him, yaar hai ke kya fayda, musalmanon ko sab maar rahe, tum America chale jaato, what's the point of living here, they're killing Muslims, I'll go to America. He tells me, kya sa, America mein maut nahi, kya wala bhai. This happened, I'm talking about an incident which happened probably in maybe 93 or something like this. Mosque bandiwala. No, Allah Ta'ala sunate jo sunane ka hai. Seriously, I tell you, it was literally like he slapped me in the face, He said, kya sahab, America mein maut nahi, kya bolta hai? He said, what, there's no death in America, is it? He says, maut ko dar ke bhagte sahab bola mere. He says, you are afraid of death, you are running away. Imagine who's saying it. He is the guy, these are the people, may Allah protect them and protect all innocent people, Muslim or non-Muslim. These are the people who are at the front. They are the ones who bear the brunt of whatever happens. Now, it's not people like us. People like us have several layers of security. They have nothing. He's not afraid. He's absolutely not afraid. And he's telling me, seriously, America mein maut nahi, kya bolta? He says, there's no death in America, is it? So seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. So now Musa alayhi salam is standing there at the sea. He's got the sea in front of him. He's got the army of Pharaoh behind him. Musa alayhi salam is not afraid. His people are, they are terrified. They are making all kinds of things. They are blaming him and so on. But Musa alayhi salam is not afraid. Musa alayhi salam says, my Rabb promised me he will save us and he will save us. Khalas. What gives him confidence? The fact that Allah promised him. And the fact that he is not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the issue. And it's not an issue only of Nabi. You might say, well, after all, he was Nabi. No. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for every Muslim. Nabi or not Nabi. The Sahaba were not Anbiya. But the Sahaba obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the help of Allah came. They saw the help of Allah coming. And of course, as we know, Musa alayhi salam was told now, see the solution also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, strike the water with your staff. Does it make logical sense? What will happen if you strike the water with your staff? You won't know until you do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps in ways which we don't understand. Our job is to do what you are told. Musa alayhi salam was told, take your people out of Egypt. He took them out of Egypt. Musa alayhi salam was told, strike the water with your staff. He struck the water. He didn't say, Allah, but it doesn't make sense to me. What will happen? No. Do it. Khalas. Samayana vatana, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. That is the position of the Muslim. And of course, as they say, rest is history. The water parted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made not one, but 12 different paths. Imagine the scene of that. You can see the water standing vertical. And then the same water drowned the army of Iran. Same water. And same lesson, which is that la nafi wa la dharra illallah. There is no help, there is no goodness, and there is no evil, there is no harm in anything in the makhluk. No one can help and no one can harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by His will. So obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following what we have been taught by Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, completely and totally without any change, becoming muttaqoon, trying to straighten ourselves, make tawbah, and correct our lives, not just sit and listen to bayan and say, oh, very nice bayan, mashallah, and then continue to do whatever khawasat we are engaged in. That's useless. But this is what we do. Mashallah, mashallah, oh, wonderful, wonderful. After that, continue. I'm going to my dance party. Let me go. That's what I'm supposed to do. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So seriously, we have to get our act together. If we want to be saved from the tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make tawbah and come back on track. The tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to bring us back on track. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we have to be very clear in our minds and make tawbah and come back on track. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us and to make it happen for us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.